God bless you again, Brother Melvin. It's my time again to be with you, and I'm very happy about it. I just want to share a message today, and glad to be on the show with you, the Gospel for the Glory of Jesus, KRAJ 100.9 FM, here in the Antelope Valley, and and you're well known and well heard here in the Antelope Valley. So I want to talk about what the Lord Jesus did for me. And if I get lost in the emotion of it all, those of you who are listening, I hope you'll grab up with me. So I want to start off by saying that the theme that I want to wrap everything around is Jesus came and did it just for me. Jesus came and did it just for me. And the point I'm making out of this, brothers and sisters, had there been nobody on earth except me, he would have still come and given his life for one raggedy dude named Henry Hurd. And it doesn't make any difference what I've done or didn't do right. He still loved me enough to give his life that I could have eternal life. I'd like to take you, first of all, to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 and 27. Listen what the Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit said in verse 26. Genesis 1, 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over all of the earth, and over every living creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Now I was included in that creation. Now at that point, man was created totally innocent, totally clean, but God gave him the option of either loving him or doing whatever they did, doggone well please. But what did he do? And he passed that along to all of us. So we have the option of loving God and being obedient to him or doing whatever we want to. Now that's stage one. Come with me to Genesis, if you please. Genesis chapter 3. And I want you to look at verse 6 more particularly. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. Now remember, he created us in his image and with his likeness, but gave us freedom to do what we wanted to do. Now, chapter 3 says that man through his wife, look at verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree, see, Satan, she had been talking to Satan, she had a conversation with him. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Verse 7, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Some kind of way or another, and their innocent state, they had no problem with not wearing clothes. The temperature was right. They met with God. They had a good relationship. And everything was provided for them. Fruit provided from season to season. Everything was fine. But Satan got in the picture. And now, as they took of the fruit and disobeyed God, the image was changed. But guess what, folks? God never stopped loving us because we fell. I'm going to take you now and take a look at Exodus chapter 12 and verse 11 through 14. And I won't take you there to read because I'll run out of time if I get too far away from it. What happened here is after the children of Israel were in Egypt their allotted time for their sins again, God got them ready to bring them out of Egypt. And as he got ready to bring them out of Egypt, he had told Moses to have them together in their houses and to have a lamb for every house and slaughter the lamb and take the blood of the lamb and put it over the doorposts. And as they put the lamb blood over the doorpost, when the death angel would come through that particular night, the death angel would see the blood and pass over that particular house. Now, this is the thing that just blesses my heart so much, is when I look at how God had the death angel to pass over the house where the blood of the lamb was placed over the doorpost. Now we see John, and I'm going to take you now to the book of John. Notice in the book of Exodus is where this whole communion thing started. And as it started there, God knew that this was a temporary fix. But now John is looking ahead in the first chapter of John. And I'd like to take you there so that you can see that. That's John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And I want you to look with me as we look at chapter 1 and verse 29. Verse 29. And here's John getting ready to do a baptism. And he looked up and looked along the seashore and he saw Jesus coming. Now listen what he said. Verse 29. And the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold the Lamb of God. Now remember, I mentioned to you in Exodus, there was a lamb slaughtered for every house and the blood was put over the doorpost. Now he sees Jesus coming and said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And as we look at that particular scripture, we recognize that Jesus was the absolute permanent Lamb. And in this case, Jesus was preparing himself that he would give his life, and this time his blood would never have to be shed but once. Now, that's what really blows me away. If you think that the Lord did not know that we were going to be ugly, I think you got another point coming, because he knew that we would be ugly, but at the same time, he never stopped loving us. In Romans in chapter 3, verse 23, it says, while we were yet on our drugs, while we were yet with bad lips, while we were yet committing adultery, while we were yet doing all of the ugly stuff that we could think of that we wanted to do, God still loved us. And that blowed my mind, how the Lord loved us. And then he says, and while we were yet sinners, we had a need for a Savior, and Christ died for us. I want to take you now to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18, 19 through 21. Watch what Brother Peter said. And nobody should know this better than Peter, because he had bad lips. He cut folks up. Oh, he was a tough dude. Watch what he said. For as ye know that you were not redeemed from this corruptible thing, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the, listen to this, y'all, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Listen to this. Before we ever got here, before we ever got here to be sinners and to be ugly, Christ had already prepared himself before the foundation of the world to be our Savior, but was manifest in these last days for you, for Henry, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and your hope might be in God. So God raised up his son that our faith might be in God through Christ Jesus. And Jesus came, and brothers and sisters, I wish you could see me, and I'm going to look at it this way. I see God, if you please, if you would allow me to hold on to God with my right hand, and I like to hold on to Henry with the left hand, and in the middle is Christ. So Christ came to bring me back to God from whence I started in the first place. He came to relink us. And if you, oh, I could go on and on through scripture, but what I want to do is just to get you to understand that Jesus came and did it just for me. Now, I hope you can receive this, and I hope you will allow the Lord to live in your mind and to bring you glory through the blood of Jesus. Now, Peter recognized that there had been a lot of conversation going on. Let me stop right here for a second. There's approximately over 300 major denominations all over the place. And they got all kind of beliefs everywhere. Some don't believe that God ever, there is a God. You name it, it's out there. So it's up to us to believe whatever it is that we'd like to believe. But God still sent Jesus on our behalf, whether we accept him or not. Christ stood there with his hand in God's hand and his left hand in our hand and in our heart to reconnect us. Now watch what he said, that this is done by the precious blood of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't forget, and I think I've shared this other times with you, that I was on a boat back in 1953, 30 days leaving Oakland, California, on my way to Yokohama, Japan, to be a part of the Korean War. And on that boat, I jumped up on top of the stage there one day, the sun was shining, and I asked who wanted to play checkers and get beat. Well, a tall, slender white boy stood up named Bob. Bob said, "I'll play you, and I can beat you." And long story made short, 20 games later, he hadn't won a single game. And so I told Bob, "I'm tired. I need somebody who can play checkers. You can't play checkers." So I got up to walk away, and Bob looked over at me and he said, "Henry, do you know Jesus?" I said, "Yes. I go to church." And he says, "Henry, that's not what I'm talking about. I want to know, do you know the Jesus of the Bible?" And ladies and gentlemen, I'm cutting this still short because I'm going to run out of time in a few minutes. He said this. He said, "Henry, do you believe the Bible?" I said, "Of course I do. Hebrews 11 and 6. For it is impossible to please God without faith." He says, "I want you to take a look at Mark 12:29. The first of all the commandments is to hear, O Israel, one God." And he went on and on through the scripture. And we're on our way to Korea. And ladies and gentlemen, there were 7,000 of us on that boat on our way to Korea. And when I left off of that stage, I offered the top of the ship to go back down into the hull of the ship. My mind was running, folks. All these years, and I'm just now meeting, truly meeting, the Jesus of the Bible. I thought I knew him because I went to church. And I hope you are not just going to church and think that you know Jesus just because you go to church. But we need to accept the word. We need to make some commitments to God and accept him from the basis of his word. So I never saw Bob anymore on that ship. Now, I've just recently began to believe that maybe Bob was some kind of an angel that God sent on that boat just to save me, just to get me on the right road so that I could be here today to let you know Jesus came and did it just for me. And he did it for you too, if you will accept him. Now, the last scripture I'd like to share with you comes in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I want to start with verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And listen what he says here. Here's the behavior of one who has accepted Christ as I did on that boat on my way overseas. He says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are made new." That's what happens when we accept Christ, totally accept him for who he is. So I want you to recognize the fact that not only did Jesus save us, not only did he bring us to a true relationship with him, with God through him, but what I want you to know is that he has called us to be reconciled. And my sheets are sticking together here. Here's what I want you to see. In verse 18, "And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself." Now, this is God doing this. "By Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their sins or their trespasses unto them, but has committed unto us the words of reconciliation. Now then, that we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you, by us we pray, And the last verse says, for he has made him, God made him, to become sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus came and did it just for me. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to take a moment and let me pray for you. And I hope that you are thinking with me now that God, Christ, did not have to do that, but he committed himself to do it so that we could have life eternal. Father, we pray right now that every man, woman, boy, and girl who heard these words today recognize the fact that you came and did it just for us. Bless and keep us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I hope you got a thought from this, and I hope you recognize the fact that he didn't have to do it, but he did. And I'm glad that I'm saved, and I hope you are too. If you're not, go to somebody and tell somebody, explain to you that Jesus did it just for you. Amen.